Welcome to the Pandora's Awareness Podcast, a place where we collect stories and circulate life-changing wisdom. Today, our guest is Marlon, a trauma transformer, a treasure finder, and a victory seeker. Join us on a transformative journey as we delve into the incredible story of Marlon, a beacon of resiliency, hope, and empowerment. From battling addiction and overcoming co-currency disorder, to earning college degrees and becoming a mental health professional. Marlon's journey is a testament to the transformative power of self-love and personal growth. Get ready to be inspired and discover the hidden treasure within yourself. So Marlon, thank you for joining us today on the Pandora's Awareness Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, 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 my brother. So we're going to start off with, man, I just want to tap into your story because I looked over the stuff you sent me. As far as your accomplishment and your experience and your journey through life. And it's very inspiring, brother. It's very inspiring. So I want to start off with the big questions, man. Like, what is your big question, right? The big question that you have that you wake up with, you go to bed with, that people might need to think about when they listen to you talk about your journey.
The biggest thing I ask myself is, what have I done to help an individual, my community, and society as a whole? Have I done my part? I believe in my journey of finding my treasure that I had lost my way. And so I know that in coming out of that, my only duty, my responsibility in life is to be a beacon of light so that others can find their treasure, find their way. It's a painful thing to go through and not have any guidance. Support can help, you know, only to a certain amount. But just like you, it's better to teach a man to fish than to give him a fish. It's better to show somebody the way than to help them all the way through. You got to find it on their own. And that's one thing I was able to do once I recognized the beauty of my tragedy turning into treasure.
Wow. Wow. So that big question really drives you a lot. So think it through those lens, man. So tell us about your journey so far, man. Like. What got you to be embracing the thing that you're embracing right now in life?
I found my purpose about a decade ago after experiencing almost a half a century of addiction, dealing with trauma, and not being able to find value in myself, right? A lot of things I dealt with were guilt and shame, of course, taking the blame for things that were out of my control, even as a child, you know, the physical abuse that I experienced. And one of the things that has driven me is, you know, it's like once I woke up, it's like one day I woke up and I said, now I know that Eureka light went off. And I said, well, I'm going to not only, now that I've come out of this thing with lived experience, they call us in the field, they call us in schools, they're sending people like me, life coaches, into schools and elementary schools to help children experiencing trauma. Once I found out, you know, which way to go, it was like, I have a duty. My purpose is to just help others find their way. One of the things, like I was saying, us life coaches are credible messengers and lived experience. We have that. But one of the things I had to do on top of that was add the education piece to it. So not only did I get the bachelor's, but then I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and get the master's. The next step is the doctorate, because in my addiction journey, I spent a total of 23 years incarcerated for petty crimes to support my habit. So I was under the old law before the criminal justice reform. After George Floyd was murdered, a lot of sweep of criminal justice reform went across the country. It hit Virginia, and there's no longer a three strike. You're out basically for petty larceny crimes. So there was one point, in order to get a fix, get that next fix, I took two bottles of lotion. Under that enhancement, that old law, I got 5 years as a felon for $10 worth of lotion. Again, I took two t-shirts because I was going to prison and I wasn't getting treatment. I wasn't getting the treasure. Nobody was telling me I had the treasure inside of me to come out of that thing. I got another 5 years. So a decade total for less than $50 worth of items I did in a prison system to support an addiction. 23 total.
Wow.
Right? And like I said, it didn't feel good while I was going, because of course, on the inside, don't have access to the drugs. Of course, there's drugs in jails and prisons, but that wasn't my focus. I was finally put away from what I thought was hurting me or what I thought I didn't want to deal with, because the drugs were a way to cope and not deal with the feelings, right? So in there, I was alone with myself. I had to deal with myself. Many times I was in solitary isolation, which I just saw in the new law for Virginia. They're doing away with that, saying it's inhumane. I once spent 6 months in a cell by myself. So I got to know myself. But like I said, without that light, without knowing that treasure, like I said, you can support me, but if you don't teach me how to fish, how am I going to know to get out of it without it? So the prison was just a solitary time. It was an isolating time to just deal with myself with no way of getting away, you know, medicating or anything. But I still couldn't figure out how to see the beauty of what I had gone through. And it wasn't until the end of 23 years of doing that on total that I was able to find that. And like I said, that was about 10 years ago. And since that time, I've been like, I call people, I tell people I'm like Denzel Washington, that movie Man on Fire. Just how he went after that little girl. If anybody's seen that movie, and if you haven't, you need to, right? Man on Fire, that's who I am today. I am Man on Fire for reaching out and showing people that they have a treasure inside of them. And that coincides with my book that I wrote, Lighting the Way, Hidden Treasures.
Wow, man, that is a journey, brother. That is a journey. And I'm curious, based on that walk you've been through, you know, I thought about Mandela when he was talking just now, brother. That would come to mind when you was talking. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how do you, you could Mandela-ize your experience, right? Because, you know, this is the thing I want to love about Mandela's story, right? Is that he had all right to be bitter and angry and all that stuff, right? But he didn't do that. So if you are Mandela-izing your story right now and using that as a treasure, tell me how you're doing it, man. Because people need to understand how you transform that experience into, like, how do you make that past increase the value of your past, even though it sounds so rough and dark? How do you increase the value? Or you appreciate it now? How are you doing it?
A lot of people say, how do you smile? I have so much gratitude, right? And it's ironic that you say Mandela, because I thought about him a lot of those years. Many of those years I was inside. I wasn't a political prisoner. In some ways I was, but in many ways I was a spiritual prisoner in prison because of the way I was living, right? And just to tap on that real quick, the political side of it. So in the late 80s, mid-80s, early 90s, there was a thing in America called the War on Drugs. I just recently taught 100 police officers and healthcare professionals. You can pull it up on Wavy TV 10, right? The news that I was teaching them about the anti-stigma of addiction, how not to, and stigma is a disgraceful mark, right? So why in America do we have a disgraceful mark on people with addictions if it's a disease? Well, I go back to the 80s and 90s, the war on drugs, right? What does war say? We're at combat. There's an enemy, right? We are fighting something that we want to get rid of, eliminate. You're eliminating people with addictions, whether they're the users or the dealers, right? So that has trickled down through generations. And that's why we have that ugly mark, not only in society and communities, within our own community, that ugly mark, you know, the name calling, fiend, crackhead, right? How can people find beauty and treasure when they're being called these demeaning things? And we do it to our own people, we do it to others, and not just within our community, but society as a whole has still grasped a part of that war on drugs. We haven't gotten rid of it all the way. Some people think it's not a disease or they have a choice. But I challenge anyone who doesn't believe that to watch Addiction Neuroscience 101, Addiction Neuroscience 101 on YouTube. The most informative, and it's science, MRI science, right? They take someone who's dehydrated, put them in an MRI and study the brain waves to see how bad they want water. About the size of a golf ball. They put that same individual or different individuals. They had several clients that they were using, and they put them in and they say, okay, we're not going to feed them. We're going to use that same craving thing for starvation, right? Says it was the size of a softball. They take someone on drugs. They don't give them their drug for 3 days. They put that same person in an MRI and say the brain wave, the measurement was the size of a baseball field. So they would rather have the drug than eat or drink after starvation and dehydration. So that's Addiction Neuroscience 101. And scientifically proven, it's a disease, but we're just learning all of these things. And like I said, in the 80s and 90s, we had the war on drugs. And so our community, our people who are experiencing addiction or trying to come out in recovery still have that disgraceful mark on them. So how do you bring out a treasure in a world where you're considered a disgrace? You're an embarrassment to your family. You're shunned away. You're belittled. Name calling. You know, I had to deal with all of that. And I still smiled and kept going because I knew. Because get back to that question you asked me. How do I find that to keep going, right? The resilience. The Mandela story, you know what I think about? I always think about when I think about resilience. And if you Google it, you'll see a flower, photos of resilience, a little flower growing out of the concrete. That's the image of resilience. That's the image of the treasure that we have. Like we came out of everything that was meant to destroy us, everything that was meant to keep us from lifting up, from growing. I'm up today. I'm here right here with you on this podcast. It's a beautiful thing because I know maybe a decade ago, I might have been that man out there holding the sign on the corner. I may have been that man that was begging for change in front of the store. Or at some points, even waiting to see who would throw away food. Really? And to tell me I don't have a treasure and something beautiful inside because I was able to lift up out of that. And then help and share it with others. That's why I say it's my duty and responsibility to do that. That's why I applaud you, brother, not only for the podcast, but also for your book. I don't know if you told the people on the podcast, me, my fellow author, about the treasure that we find in our tragedy. Have you?
No, I've been talking, we haven't talked about them on this one, but yeah, my book is Turning Traumas into Treasure, kind of similar to yours. But I was listening to your sharing that, and it's a power that you have right now, Marlon, where you can help people create a future that's bigger than their past. Because when you go through a stuff like that, bro, like you can look at your future very small, or you can look at it very big. But how do you create that bigger future? Like my past, it's smaller than my future. How do you transform?
Whereas I was hopeless. So a lot of people ask me, dealing with addiction and recovery and being a counselor, I'm a certified substance abuse counselor, supervisee, and peer support and qualified mental health professional. Yes, I went from having an addiction to having 3 licenses with the Department of Health in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And
congratulations,
Thank you. And one of the things I do, thank God, one of the things I do is inspire hope. And so going back to the lived experience thing, that's what a lot, when I was saying the elementary schools do it, I have so much information to get out, I'm sorry. But I did study for Liberty University research for the country on children exposed to trauma. I presented it last year before the nation, I mean. And in Baltimore City Public Schools, elementary school children, they are practicing restorative practices, right? And they bring in life coaches to help the children deal with the trauma. A lot of those kids are traumatized just because of where they live, underserved communities. with violence and everything, that the abuse, the neglect. They bring life coaches, people like me, into the school to help those children find their treasure. And so back to the question, how do I do it? You know, in the big picture, whereas I didn't have hope, I have so much now. I have to write down what's coming up, the next hope shot. So I call it a hope shot. When I'm out there in the street and dealing with people like that man, like that meet, like was me, that was me on the corner or in front of the store, I'm like, let me find the hope shot for him. What can I connect with? Meet them with a person-centered therapy. I believe in that, right? Meeting a person where they are and not trying to change them. Not trying to judge them, right? But just trying to meet them where they are and inspire some type of hope. I have so much today. How do I keep up with it? If I showed you all around right now, I'm in my, you know, my little man cave, but I write down everything. I got sticky notes. I have a calendar. I use a dry erase marker. I use my phone. Whereas I had not knowing where my next meal was coming from or what I was going to do in the next minute, hour, or second out there in the street, right? Now I have so much life to live and so much to give that my calendars are inspiring. That's my that's part of my treasure. I love having a busy schedule, right? And sometimes, you know, for some people like me, it could create anxiety, you know, after coming out. No, but it's perspective. A lot of what I do now and how I live is based on perspective. I look at everything as a blessing and not so much a lesson.
Wow. Okay, so let me ask you this then. So I know you're out there in the state system, and you also do your own thing as well. So if somebody trying to reach you now, trying to really get with you and figure out how they can connect with you as a person that's really know how to guide them from point A to point B, how can they reach you, bro?
Well, at one point I had my own 24-hour peer support thing, but that didn't work out in the relationship. Your phone is ringing 24 hours a day. I said, yeah, but I started this support thing for people who are going through, but you can't tell people when they have a trauma. You can't tell people when they're going to be in need. You know, that could happen anytime. And so that didn't work out. But now I put my information out on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Marlon Bakeoat, the name that you see before you, that's where you can find me. A couple of different tags on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. But yeah, I'm available. And at one point I was on Psychology Today, but that got to be too much too. And working directly with clients, like I can do a whole lot for I can deal with a whole lot of people and you know, be mediocre, or I can zoom in on a few and give them my best. And I think that's I know that's my purpose. Part of my, you know, purpose is to help one-on-one. Whereas I wanted to be the Mandela and make mass changes, I see myself doing that one person at a time. And I'm grateful for that, even that opportunity.
Okay, so to kind of simplify this and push it forward before we close out here. So if you had to package up all of this journey, this experience you've collected, this data you've connected so far, and you had to package that up and give to somebody, or you got to create a clear vision for them, what would that really be? What would that person really be?
That's real easy. It would be empathy. Empathy. Yes. Putting myself in someone else's shoes. I always do it. And that's where, you know, I think, again, I know where I was able to come out because of the people who got down on my level and said, no, instead of trying to reach down and pull you up, I'm going to come down here where you are and show you how to find your treasure. How to get it yourself. I'm not going to try to cast a net or you know, or throw a rope or anything and pull you out. No, I'm going to help you build your own rope. I'm going to help you cast your own net so that not only when you build that and get yourself out, you can throw one to somebody else. And that's how I got it. And that comes through empathy. So I think it's balled up in empathy, which I know society and the world needs a lot more of. There's so much division, so much hate, anger, right? Sometimes I walk down the street. I'm in a busy city, right, in Richmond, Virginia, and I walk down the street and just speak to people. And they'll look at me like I'm great. I walk down and say, hi, how you doing? Have a great day on the busy sidewalk while I'm on my way to work. And people said, no, I don't want anything. I just want to spread joy. I want to spread happiness. I said, because you never know, that person that you might be speaking to, you might be the only person that speaks to them today. And that might be the father or the brother that's going home to the abused child or the bully kid at home that in turn wants to go around and take a gun to school. You may stop a school shooting just by speaking to someone. We never know. I think about, that's how much I think about society and the world I live in. I don't look at anything as, like I said, so much a lesson, but a blessing. Because someone could say, like you said, you're smiling still, but you could look at it like society failed you. No, I didn't fail me. Society didn't fail me. Like you have said, I've talked to you earlier, it was a journey that was meant to bring something out of me.
Wow. And with that said, brother, we can wrap up. Any last word? Any last word for the listeners? Any last word?
Man, y'all spread love, please, especially in your own community, right? That ticks me off, and I'm always in it. I'm gonna tell the truth, because truth will set you free, right? We need to stop not treating each other right. We need to stop hating each other, killing each other. Let's get some love back in our community, please, y'all. I'm begging. That's it.
Wow. All right, Marlon, thank you. And thank you for hopping on here with me and chatting, sharing your journey. This is the Pandora's Awareness Podcast, where we collect stories and circulate life-changing wisdom, man.
All right.
Where we do that.
Good seeing you. I'm coming out Colorado to see you. Get that book signed. I'm coming out there to see you. Get that book signed so I can bring you one of mine.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Totally. All right, brother. Make it an awesome day.